art, comedy, pop culture, and much more. You're listening to ACPN.
Go to the bar. Welcome to the Romance Bar. Good afternoon, Gata.
Good afternoon, Colleen.
And welcome to the Thanksgiving edition of the Romance Bar. All right. Happy Thanksgiving to all those who celebrate here in the United States.
Happy Thanksgiving, everybody. Happy Turkey Day. Happy non-Turkey Day. Happy I don't celebrate Thanksgiving Day. Happy Thursday. Just have a happy, lovely day.
Happy Parade Day.
Happy parade day. Happy food day, because if you're home and off, you're definitely going to make food and you're going to eat it. So happy food day, everybody.
I will never forget working with a former coworker, and she was not born originally in the United States. And she goes, well, I don't celebrate Thanksgiving. And I'm like, but you're a citizen. So, and she goes, well, I didn't grow up with it, so therefore I don't celebrate it. And I went, I don't know why it took me as such a pause of like, but it's just a day where you eat food. I mean, it's not like gifts are required, or which is probably why I appreciate Thanksgiving as much as I do, because no gifts are actually required. It just pressures on to cook a lot of food.
Well, it's basically a day where you, like, the reason why I love Thanksgiving, and I didn't grow up with it, it's because in my mind, it's basically a day where you have lots of delicious food, but most importantly, it's a day where you have, you spend it with the people you love, whether it's your family or your chosen family, like however, you know. So to me, it's that kind of day. And then it evolved and it became all about the food and the pies and the, you know, either going to the movies or staying home and watching a movie, or, you know, all of these things. So you make your own Thanksgiving day
traditions
as you go. So, you know, some people don't celebrate it, and that's fine. It's another Thursday. But some people do, and that's awesome and also great.
Yeah, however you want to celebrate it. And listen, like Gata said last week, that she is not having a turkey, like a traditional turkey. And
no,
that's okay. That's fine.
Not having a turkey. And I may not even cook. I've been invited out, so I don't know what I'm going to do. It depends on how some things go. I may go and have a turkey, or I may make a chicken. I don't know. We'll see. I'll be the Chandler of the friends group with the chicken.
We're having the traditional turkey, but Doris is doing the main course and I am doing the appetizers and the desserts. So, and I'm baking bread. So I have like the extra stuff, whereas she's doing the heavy lifting, as it were. She's doing the potatoes, the stuffing, and the other kinds of potatoes. And I said, there should be a green vegetable represented. So I'm thinking, I know I mentioned this last week, I'm leaning towards broccoli, because broccoli is usually a fan.
Okay, so you could do broccoli, roasted rotten. Broccoli and garlic.
Yes. Or broccolini.
Or broccolini. Broccolini is nice. Yeah.
I'm thinking.
Food is great. Food is wonderful. Whatever food you choose to eat. It is wonderful. Enjoy it.
Yes. And even if you're like, well, people serve turkey on Thanksgiving, guess what? Whatever your family tradition is. So I don't know. You never watched the show This Is Us, right, Gata? Or you did?
No, I didn't, no.
Okay. So in the first like season, so like they ended up like, there's a flashback where they get stranded in like this hotel and they were like roasting hot dogs with like cheese slices, and that just became their family tradition after that to have this because of that one Thanksgiving. So like, it doesn't matter whatever the Thanksgiving concoction is, like if that's what you and your family do, that's you're celebrating you and your family's traditions. That's really what Thanksgiving is. It doesn't matter if it has a turkey on there, or if it's a chicken, or if it's a lasagna, or whatever it is. I hope you enjoy it. And we keep the fights to a minimum, unless it's over, you know, like you're playing football, then you can, you know, get your aggression out that way. But I just say, make it fun and don't play Monopoly on Thanksgiving, because I feel that's just inviting more problems than ever. Because, you know, Monopoly never ends well for anyone. I don't know. You've played Monopoly. Have you ever played Monopoly to the end, Gata?
Yes, of course.
You mean you haven't, like you've built the houses and the hotels and everything?
Yes, of course.
Wow, I've called it quits because
I played Monopoly all the way to the end. I love board games. I would love to find someone that would want to play board games all day long, because that's all I want to do.
You need to come over more.
I will be there.
I'm putting this out on the podcast to hold Gata to having to come over and play more board games at the Galvo house.
Definitely. Definitely. I will be there. I'm coming over.
Because I have a board game that you got me.
I did get you a board game.
We clearly need to play it.
Yes, we do.
Maybe we'll put it on Instagram to prove that it actually happened.
Yes, but, we should. Speaking of food, today's book is all about food.
I could not narrow down anything in particular for this book to associate with.
Yeah.
Except for, okay, so they do talk about going to the pub quite a bit, and she does get a beer at one point. So mm-hmm. I would say get yourself a good, if you want to go to the pub, go right ahead. I would say if you're going to go to the pub, get something on tap. Treat yourself. Don't get something out of the bottle. Go get something on tap, like whatever they have, like a local brew. Treat yourself. I feel like going to the bar. Or if you don't want to go to the bar, you want to just sit home in your PJs, especially on Thanksgiving, you know, I would say treat yourself. Make sure it's nice and cold, sitting on the couch watching whatever sport, whatever. Listen, if you're watching Hallmark movies and drinking a beer, I don't judge you, because I would do the same if I like beer. I mean, I drink Guinness from time to time, but that's a stout. And as a friend of the pod calls it, it's a meal in a glass. So that's a very heavy beer. Or if you are a non-alcoholic like Miss Gata over here, I would go the root or the birch beer variety, or even a cream soda. Treat yourself to a cream soda.
I like, my God, what is it called? Modell's? No.
The non-alcoholic?
Yeah, it's the non-alcoholic beer. And I forgot what it's called. Duels. Yes, Duels. Thank you. Thank you. Duels. Modell's. Modell's is not.
Doesn't exist. Yeah.
No, it used to be a sporting goods store, and it's no longer with us. I'm so sorry. Duels. It's fantastic. I love it. I don't like the Heineken one. It's very bitter. And I'm not into bitter things, except that all my life is bitter. But anyway.
Stop it. I don't like, my sister and her family love broccoli rabe, which is also a very bitter, you know.
Yeah.
So I'm like, I don't like bitter. Like, I don't like who we were with hanging out with the husband's friends last week. And she goes, oh, yeah, well, if you do vinegar. And I'm like, I hate vinegar, because I'm very sparse with the vinegar because it's very bitter. But that's me. But yes, I would say pour yourself a pint while delving into the wonderfulness that is Rosalind Palmer. Now, I will get into what I associated with her name after we get my husband's take. I may have spoiled him on what the book was about, though, only because of in light of a certain event that happened last night. John?
I don't remember.
Are we trying to black out what happened on Bake Off?
Don't say what happened on Bake Off. I haven't watched it.
Because Gata hasn't watched it
yet. No, a lot of people haven't watched it yet.
Gata hasn't watched
it. It was heartbreaking.
Well, I'm so sorry that it was. But anyway, we have a book to discuss.
Okay.
Yes. It is called Rosalind Palmer Takes the Cake.
Rosalind Palmer Takes the Cake.
Because you said Rosalind, I'm like,
Rosalind. Thank you. See, the husband got it right away.
I'm your empty meme.
Okay. See, that's how I thought when she was in the book when she's explaining where she got her name from. I'm like, oh, like the, because I'm like, oh, how's she pronouncing it? Like the actress. And she goes and explains in an offhanded way. She's like, oh, it's a character from Romeo and Juliet. Oh no, she's not actually in the play. She's just mentioned in the play. And I was like, wow, that's a really obscure way to get around this. I would have just said like the actress and left it alone.
Yeah.
And might have stood a fighting chance. Yeah. But so
it's Rosalind Palmer?
Yes.
Takes the Cake?
Yes.
In the most simplistic way to think about it, she took a cake.
No.
She grabbed a cake and she ran.
No. I told him what this book was about and he clearly
forgot. It's about baking.
Yes.
Because you said don't bring up what happened last night.
Because it's a spoof of a particular show that we are just heartbroken over.
Oh.
Yes.
So wait, is Noel Fielding involved in the book?
No.
I'm all grand. Takes the cake. So she wins. So it's a contest and she wins it, I guess.
Well, we're not going to spoil the ending.
Yeah, it'd be a pretty lousy.
Well, a lousy you don't podcast. Have to win.
No, you don't have to win. She could win. You can win on.
At life. It could be like, what was that show? Parker Lewis Can't Lose. I never watched it. I just remember them advertising it and. I'm assuming at some point he did lose.
Like beat Bobby Flay? Like, is that the premise we're going on here?
Win Ben Stein's money?
Yes. Yes.
Even though it wasn't his money?
Right. It was a television show's money.
Oh, God. Yeah, I mean, yeah.
All right. Go drink some more coffee, dear.
Thank you. And where can we get that coffee? I don't know.
Colleen, so we're back, and we are better than ever with the Romance Bar.
We are new and improved. With a sponsor now, Gaga.
A sponsor? Tell me more.
Why, thank you, Price is Right, Gaga. I appreciate you so much. We have the sponsor called Gamer Grind Coffee that is actually sponsoring the ACPN Network, who brings you the Romance Bar.
Oh, this is awesome. Awesome. Yay for coffee sponsoring us.
Us having a coffee as our first sponsor is so apropos considering how much coffee fuels this podcast. The names that Gamer Grind came up with are priceless for their 12 blends. And what I think is unique with their 12 blends, the one that I'm currently drinking is called Rage Mode. I know. The husband picked it out. He got a medium roast, which I was just like, my body was in shock because I'm like, I'm not used to medium roast coffee anymore. But the bright side with Gamer Grind, if I want to order Rage Mode again, I can upgrade it to a dark roast. And you can pick if you want to have it whole bean or if you want to have it finely ground ready for your coffee pot so you don't have to grind it yourself, which I think is pretty cool because, you know, most blends, like if you go to certain places, oh, only this blend is available and it's only a dark roast, whereas this one you can customize and you still think the name is cool. But they were so kind to sponsor us, the Romance Bar, and they were generous enough to give us a discount code. What is that discount code, Gata?
It's ACPN at checkout. So when you purchase all the coffee your heart's desire, just make sure you're doing ACPN at checkout to get the 5% off. And yes, it is only 5%, but you know what? You're saving so much money on shipping and handling, and you're getting great, amazing tasting coffee.
Which I'm drinking right now.
I am very envious of you. I drank my coffee for the day, and I cannot wait for my order to come in, yeah.
Just remember to go to gamergrind.co and use ACPN at checkout to get your 5% off your first order.
And also follow them on Instagram, gamersgrindco, and see their amazing products. They have other products as well that goes with their coffee, check them out and let us know what you think. Thank you, Gamers Grind.
Thank you. Okay, so I picked the book this week, Gata, even though Gata read it first and said I would enjoy it based on the author. Well, I already know how. I have a feeling I know how Gata discovered this book, but how about you tell the listeners how you discovered this book, Gata?
It is really through the Boyfriend Material book, because it's by Alexis Hall. And it just came out, and I just read Boyfriend Material. And I was like, okay, I'll wait until after I'm done with the books I have to read, and then I'm going to read this. And then Kimberly gave me the book for my birthday. Oh. So I read it then. So it was on my TBR. I was going to get it, and I was waiting. And then Kim got it for me for my birthday. It was one of my birthday gifts. And I went and read it. And I have to say, I didn't know anything about the book before I went to read it. And I think sometimes that's a good thing, because then you're not over expecting things. All I knew is that it's Alexis Hall. And if his writing and Boyfriend Material will be any kind of, gives me any kind of clues, is that it would be fantastic. And that it really is. The writing was absolutely phenomenal for me. And the storyline is interesting, because it's really not the story of Bake Off. It's based on Bake Off. It's a spoof of Bake Off. It doesn't claim to be the behind the scenes of Bake Off. It's just, you know, taking Bake Off and twisting it and making it his own.
Well, I think he would be in a lot. He would be sued for copyright infringement if he was verbatim.
I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that it's like for a lot of, like, I read a lot of the reviews and stuff, but I'm saying that if you go into it thinking that it's going to have the same kind of vibe of Bake Off, it's not. You'll be disappointed, because it doesn't. It's funnier. It's different. It's completely different. I can't say it's funnier. It's different.
Well, you can see how it's like he's taking certain elements of it. But before, let me give you the brief synopsis of the book. So obviously they say for fans of Casey McQuiston, Christina Lauren, and Abby Jimenez.
Abby Jimenez.
We'll love this scrumptious and sweet romantic comedy from the dizzingly talented writer of Boyfriend Material. So following the recipe is key to a successful bake. Rosalind Palmer is always lived by the rules. Well, except for when she dropped out of college to raise her daughter, Amelie. Now, with a paycheck as useful as greaseproof paper and a house crumbling faster than biscuits and tea, she's teetering on the edge of financial disaster. But where there's a whisk, there's a way. Yes, there is. As Rosalind just landed a spot on the nation's most beloved baking show. Winning prize money would give her daughter the life she deserves, and Rosalind is determined to stick to the instructions. However, more than collapsing trifles stand between Rosalind and sweet, sweet victory. Suave, well-educated, and parent-approved Alan Pope. I didn't know that's how Alan was spelled, because I listened to the book. It's spelt weird, in my opinion. Pardon me. All the right moves to sweep her off her feet. But shy electrician Harry Dobson makes the moves. Rosalind questions her long-held beliefs about herself, her family, and her desire. Rosalind fears for falling for Harry is guaranteed recipe for disaster. Yet as the competition and the ovens heat up, Rosalind starts to realize that the most delicious bakes come from the heart.
That is true.
I feel this book was different in a good way, because it's not the traditional romance telling of a story. She meets Alan, which is spelled A-L-A-I-N, which mm-hmm. I was just like, huh, I'm so used to just without the I. So that's why I was like, huh, that threw me off. I shouldn't say weird. I apologize to people with names that are not how I traditionally see it. It's coming from someone who does not have her name spelled the traditional way. Anyway.
Yeah, that's true, Colleen.
I know. I'm being namist. So they have the very, I don't want to say traditional, but a very recognizable meet cute.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely. Which is why, because I didn't. So I started the book without reading this, the synopsis. I had no idea who she is. I had no idea who Alan is. I had no idea who Harry is.
I didn't know about the synopsis until I was in the middle of the book.
I was like, wait a second. And that, yeah. So I was, after she met Harry, I was like, wait, what? So I went back to the synopsis, like, oh, okay. So I really liked Alan in the beginning. I was like, oh, this mm-hmm. cute guy. I was like, but there is something. Right. There is definitely a twist, and I'm going to wait for it. The twist, though, was that Alan is not the hero at all. No. It's what you think a hero is.
Right.
And what you expect a hero to be. And what you, when you're looking at him, you're like, oh, he's hero material. But in reality, he not at all, because he's the asshole of the movie, of the book.
So now they keep having their little meetings in the car park where they're at the train to where they're waiting to be picked up by their respective people. Like in her case, she's waiting for her parents to come pick her up. And when she's like having this little flirtatious with Alan, her father meets him and he gets rave reviews from her father. So I was like, that should have been clue number one to me that Alan was the asshole. But it wasn't until, so Rosalind is a single mother and her daughter is adorable and yes. delightful and inquisitive. When he says, oh, but you know, when Alan had said, there's a point where the two of them are having like a little date, Alan says, it's not about your daughter, it's about you. I was like, I understand, like, I guess putting it in a different way of like, he's like trying to say like, oh, well, you should put yourself first sometimes. Like, it can't always be about your daughter. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, to a degree, I understand that logic, but the way he said it of like, but she's like, but I love my daughter. She's like the best person in the world. Like, and she, at a point later in the book, she goes, oh, you know, if I had to do everything all over again, I would still want the outcome of where I have my daughter. Like, because
Emily is, oh, so she's such a cute little kid in the book.
And so bright.
And so bright and so smart and so funny and just so lovely to have as a character in the book. But also, like, the relationship between her and her mom is just fantastic. It's like they're really, like, you know, she's her mom, but also they have this connection that's, there's understanding, there's like a sense of family. But even, yeah, it's a very healthy relationship between mother and daughter, where the mother is not in any way hiding things from her child. The opposite, she's very open with her child. She wants her child to ask all the questions and learn everything. And Emily is a very smart kid who mm-hmm. wants to learn everything. And Rosalind just wants her to be a kid. But Emily is just too super smart. And her grandparents are these super successful doctors and professors, I guess. And they see in Emily what they wanted Rosalind to be, but Rosalind wasn't, which is very, it's like a very tricky, where she wants her parents to have that relationship with her child, but she sees that if she lets them have, like, if she didn't put boundaries, they would completely overrun her child's life and ruin it. And she wants her child to be a child and have fun. And not make it all about, you know, school and science and all of these right. things. She wants the child to have both.
I think, in all honesty, I mean, if you want to know how wonderful, Amelie is when you first meet her, she's in trouble at school for trying to explain bisexual to, she's eight, by the way, trying to explain bisexual to her classmates, and the teacher gets like a little like, oh, well, you know, she's trying to be all polite about it. And she goes, and her mom is like, no, my daughter is right. Like, she's not, she's just explaining a fact. She's not outwardly advertising the lifestyle. She's just, explaining the facts the way she understands them. She has a very good grasp. It's not like she's like, you know, going around flashing people kind of a thing. So it's like she's using the brain that was gifted to her and using it correctly. And you're just, you know, the teacher's just very caught off guard. Since this is a big show, when she's trying to call her daughter to tell her that she won,
yeah,
all of the stuff that Amelie like spews out in the phone conversation, and it's like a mile a minute what she like, you know, spurts out. And I'm like, yep, I could see this being anybody's kid. You know, like anybody, like any mom trying to call their younger kid to tell them like, hey, I won a thing. And the kid's like, oh, that's great. And this is what happened to me today.
Yeah.
And yeah, this is what I learned.
Yeah, no, it's really, really like, it's, I love their relationship. I think that's just also one of the things that made me really enjoy the book very much, is that her relationship with her child. And then it was her relationship with everyone else in the show, because yes, there's this, you know, it's they create a little family in the show, which was really cute. And I love the producer behind the scenes, because I thought that was such a British thing. I just love it. British humor is the best humor there is. And if you haven't watched any of the British shows, you should. Coupling is an old show.
Oh my god,
but hysterical, and I cannot recommend it, people. If you never watched Coupling, please, please watch it. It is hysterical, and it will introduce you to British humor in the best way.
I have the key to paradise, but I've got too many legs. I need a reference. You need to watch it.
I love that.
The giggle.
I love that. I love that show so much. And then it was also her relationship with Alan versus her relationship with Harry. So you have two guys, one who is super shy, who works with his hand. He's a plumber. And you have this architect who's cool and suave and, like, you know, trendy. All about trendy. So you have Harry, who's a laborer who loves to bake. And you have Alan, who is meticulous in architecture. And he's like, why can't I bake? You know, that kind of attitude. And you think you would go with the, you know, cool and collective architect, who she had this very meet cute with him. But in reality, as I said, he's actually a really bad guy who I cannot, I mean, when I get to that part where, so he really takes advantage of her. One, he makes their relationship secret in the beginning, during the show. And, you know, it's all about the sex. Really, there's no relationship. There's no talking. There is nothing. And he does not want to be around her child. He does not want to be part of her life. He meets her father, and he's like, yeah, sir, whatever. You know, like, it's very fancy schmancy for no reason. And then she spends more time with Harry, and they talk about food. They talk about things. They talk, you know, they have this really awkward meeting with the tea, and it's funny, and it's cute, and it's,
well, see, that's the thing.
It's awkward.
Harry and her, but I feel like Harry and her had a very cute meet cute. And also, I feel like I've seen that one a lot, but I feel like the meet cutes tell you how that relationship was going to go, like once you get, like, once you get to the end of the book, you're like, oh yeah, now I could see why that trajectory went the way it did. Like, Alan and her had the perfect meet cute, you know, like, oh, they're stuck on a train, and then there's only, like, you know, they're stuck in the middle of nowhere because the train broke down, or I forgot what it was.
Yeah.
And, you know, they end up in a farmhouse, like, oh, it's all cute and neat.
Whereas, and there's only, like, one bed.
Right, exactly. Who doesn't love the
it's
one,
like,
bed?
It's like all the romance tropes in one. You know, right. There's no transportation. You're stuck on an island by yourselves. There's right. only one house, and there's only one bedroom, and there's only one bed. So it's right. like all the things you think makes a great romance happen to Alan and Rosalind. But,
and he even has a cute nickname for her because she yeah. says, oh, my name is Rosalind Palmer. And he keeps calling her Rosalind Palmer throughout it. And you're like, oh, it's cute. They have, like, this little inside joke already. And then yeah. you're like,
and oh, then it gets annoying.
But before the date is when yeah. that should have been really telling. So they sleep together and it's okay. That yeah. should have been the, like, well, in case, I mean, I think that should have been the red flag to the audience, me included. Number one, I was like, if this is, that's when I read the synopsis. Because, like, I was like,
yeah, it's like disappointing. I was disappointed. I was like, oh, all right. But then I was like, maybe it's going to get better. Like, I don't know. Maybe it's a thing. Maybe there is a reason behind this. Right. Mm-hmm. And she was disappointed. She's like, oh, I've had better, like, in her mind, like, this is, okay, she thought it's going to be fantastic because, again, all these signs are telling her this is it. This dude is it. It's going to be great. There is, like, fireworks. And then it's such a disappointment, right?
Yeah.
And but she wants to hang on. I don't know what happened to my English. Disappeared. She wants to hang on to the idea of him. And of all the signs that led her to him and the meet-cutes and all of these things. And which is why she resists Harry for a long time. But she doesn't resist his friendship.
Mm-mm.
They become really good friends, which really annoys Alan that she becomes good friend with a lot of the people on the show. And they're so adorable. They go out together. It's like, yeah.
Well, there's also, you could tell the automatic shift in the way she is between the two of them. So, yeah. like, Harry hears that, like, oh, her daughter is into fish at the moment. So he baked the crab, right?
Out of yeah, bread? He did. Yeah.
Yeah. So he went off and, like, snuck a crab for her daughter. Like, and those, like, little things of, you know, and, like, she gets stuck in a spot at home where she needs, you know, she needs an electrician's help, and he's an electrician. He goes, no.
Oh, he's an electrician. I forgot. He's not a plumber. I'm sorry. I take it back.
It's okay. He works with his hands, and he's a laborer. So he's a Viking. That's
a dream. Listen, ladies, lawyers are great, but they're boring. Doctors work way too much hours. Well, people who work with their hands are talented, creative, they make good money, so you don't have to. But also, if there is something that needs to be fixed around the house, they could do it. A lot of people I know who are lawyers, doctors, and I don't know, a whole bunch of other things, which are great. We need those people. Yes. Can't do anything around the house. So I don't need that in my life. I need someone who could do stuff.
So, well,
who can build me a vanity, because I think I need one for my bathroom. But anyways, yes.
Well, speaking of doctors, so Rosalind was in the middle of getting ready to go to med school when she got pregnant. And her parents offered her the opportunity to, like, they all raise her daughter while she can continue with school. And she said, no, she wanted to raise her daughter herself. And so she works at, you know, she works retail, like, barely making, like, she's paycheck to paycheck, but baking is her passion. It's something that her and her daughter do together, you know, on a Kate, you know, from time to time. And, like, even when she's doing one of the bakes, when she's like, oh, yeah, my daughter usually just, like, we just squish in the eggs. Like, that's how we approach it. So it's not, like, trying to do it, you know, on television. And So Alan is like, oh, here, well, you could go back to school and become the doctor still, because, you know, your daughter's older now. And she's like, well, like, you know, how would my daughter factor into that? And he's like, well, this is about you. And she's like, well, she's even thinking of the downsides of like, well, great, I could go. Yes, I could go become a doctor, but a doctor has grueling hours. And then when am I going to, and it's like, it's shift work. So when am I going to be able to spend time with my daughter? And it's like the scope of when you're a parent and not a parent. And like, I don't want to say it's like that, because there are tons of people out there that I feel will understand what parents go, like, understand that, no, like, for parents, the children are the main focus. Like, Harry doesn't have kids, but he has a niece. But he understands to Rosalind how important Amelie is to her and understands the priority that it is, whereas Alan's just like, but this is your life. Like, he's not seeing, you know, like, the importance factor. And I was just like, oh. And then when he, you know, and then he throws out the word girlfriend just as a pissing contest, as what she says. And she's like, yeah, I'm like, all right, there's a lot of red flags that us as the reader sees, and that I'm like, she's seeing them. She's just one step behind us as the readers, I feel.
I think it's, I mean, when he makes all this, he looks into it, he makes all these, you know, like a plan. He makes a plan for her to go back to school, and then her mom hears, and her mom is like, oh my God, Alan said you're going back to school. And it's like they made this decision for her without her consent. Yep. And it's like a violation of herself. Mm. And it wasn't, to me, it was like, it's like forcing someone to do something and they don't want to do it, which is what he was doing.
However, the way her mom says something in the car, so she's like, oh, well, when we brought it up, you were all like, no, no, I don't want to do it. But he brings it up and now you're actually toggling with the idea. Yeah. However, the way the mom said what she said, I was like, I actually see what the mom is trying to say. Like, it's not like the way it's coming across was like maybe not the best way. But like, she's like, no, I want you to be happy. Like, if she's like, are you actually really happy at your current job? If you're happy, it's like one of those things. If she said, no, this is my lifelong dream, this is my new passion, I think her mom would have been like, okay, fine. Like, that's what, like, if you're happy at your, like, I understand you're happy raising our grandchild, but I don't think working at a stationery store is really your calling.
Like, yeah.
That's like, you can do, it doesn't matter what you do. Like, you don't have to be the doctor, but you could be so much better than what you're currently functioning at, is what I think the mom was trying to say. Whereas like Alan is all just like, oh no, go be a doctor, because that's the best thing to be, you know. Like, I was like, it's two very different roads. But and now the fantastical bakes. So when the girl bakes the penis bread,
it's just, there's so many baking mishaps and successes.
Yes.
It's really funny.
The mishaps are as delightful as you think the mishaps are going to be. Like, as far as like, you've seen these things, like if you've ever watched a baking competition, whether it's the Bake Off or an American one or whatever one, you know, the certain things that end up happening, of like the under pressure, or somebody forgot to turn on the oven, or turned on the oven too high, or, you know, like, you can see all of those things. And this is just an exact, it is a spoof, but, you know, like an exasperated version of it. I also enjoyed their drunken night out with the bull / goat.
Oh, that was the funniest thing ever. I mean, they almost get kicked out of the show.
Yes, that is.
That because they were in trouble with a farmer. It just, it's so, because of a goat. Oh my God, it's just, it's so funny. I think it really was delightful, and just like, it was comedy infused in the right places. Mm. And the baking was also amazing. And I think for me, I think the, we were, the relation, it comes to a point where she is still not sure what her relationship with Harry is, but she's with Alan and she's in this really tough situation and she has no idea who to call. And is instead of calling, let's say, her best friend, for many reasons, she doesn't call her best friend. She calls Harry and he lives like, I don't know, an hour and a half away or something like that. Mm-hmm. And Harry just shows up and saves the day. But it's just, it's their relationship and the way it builds up. It starts with, like, again, the sweet, quirky, cute, awkward, cute, mean. And then it's the going out and having to the pub and having a drink. And then it's the talking about the baking. He's really shy. He's really, you know, all these things. And it just builds something. So something got built on solid foundation. Mm. And it just evolved from there, which is what I really liked about their relationship. And with Alan, once you realize how an obnoxious person he is, you are not surprised.
The mint forager.
Oh, yeah. You are not the stealer of ideas. You are not surprised about what he does that breaks it for us and, you know, that completely turns everyone off of him is when he... So he has this friend who used to be his girlfriend. But then they're still best friend, who's like, she's, you know, really cute and pretty and hot.
Now, and meanwhile, Rosalind is also kind of in that same situation. She's still best friends with
an ex. Yeah. But her ex
is married, but her ex is helping her watch her daughter while she's going off to film.
So, yeah. So they went from exes to best friends. And they stayed best friends, and it evolved, like, it stayed throughout her pregnancy, after her pregnancy, through birth. She babysits Emily all the time, her and her wife, and it's a healthy relationship.
Mm-hmm.
Then it comes the relationship of Alan and his ex, which is not healthy. Not healthy for her, for his ex-girlfriend. It's not healthy for her. So he invites Rosalind to his house. She goes, and who shows up? I forgot her name, but his girlfriend shows up.
Liv.
Yeah, Liv shows up. And Rosalind's like, this is weird. But I mean, okay, whatever. And then they start drinking, and he keeps pouring them drinks. Like, he wants them to get drunk. And Liv gets absolutely blasted.
Schnocker.
Yeah, and then she goes on to... She hits on Rosalind in front of him, and he's like, yeah, let's see what you guys do. So there's this fetishizing of Rosalind as a bisexual, and basically taking that identity and twisting it for his own
pleasure.
You know, pleasure, yeah. So he took something that is very real for her and made it all about him, and made it all about, like, oh, what? How can I benefit from this? How can I get pleasure from this? This is like such... sorry, I hit my mic. This is such a turn on for me, and I want you guys to do it. So Liv is a very confused human being, and he is able to control that confusion and twist it in her head. She's like, I think I'm into women. I'm not sure. Because Alan keeps telling her that's what you are. And she's, again, a very weak person. And then Rosalind's like, are you guys kidding me? This is not a joke. I'm not attracted to you. This is not how this works. I'm with you. Like, I'm with you, Alan. Like, what is this?
Right.
And he's like, no, this is like, I really want this. I want this to happen. Like, and she runs through the bathroom and hides, and she freaks out. She calls Harry, and he comes and picks her up. Harry gets kicked out of the show? but it's he doesn't really get kicked out. He get voted out, you know, like he get chosen to leave because of this. And Alan stays. Which is, to me, it's very disappointing.
It is.
But she, Rosalind stays and kicks his ass to Alan.
Yes.
She but really does.
Again, the signals were there. So there's a point where Alan, it's, they're in post-coitus mode.
Yeah.
And he's asking her, oh, so do you feel like you're missing out? And she's like, it always, they always ask. Like, guys will always ask this question of, like, do you feel like you're missing something because you're bisexual? Mm-hmm. And she puts it in, I feel, a very smart way. She's like, well, listen, do you feel like you're missing out? Like, if you're a heterosexual, like, do you feel like you're missing out when you're with a person? Like, that you, he goes, well, the grass is always, he's like, I feel like there are people that always feel that their grass is always greener on the other side. Whereas I feel like, you know, if you ask that, like, of anyone else, of like, no, when I'm with you, I'm with you. So it's not just, you know, it doesn't matter, like, if it's male or I'm not missing out on having a female in my life. When I'm with a person completely.
Yeah.
And she's like, you know, your sexuality shouldn't be defined by FOMO, like fear, you know, like fear of missing out on things just because, you know, you want to find out. And like, so him pushing that whole, like, you know, pushing Liv on her, and you're like, yeah. Oh, that's just, like, I feel, even if, like, so say he was still dating Liv and he wanted to, he would be that douchebag.
Yeah, to, he would be.
That would be like, oh, hey, I met this other girl. Like, you know, like, have the three-way to fix our relationship when it's really not going to fix the relationship.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, granted, there are people that are in throuples and so on. Those are three consenting adults. They have all agreed and agreed to do that. That's fine. But when you're forcing it on somebody else, that's when
you're, I feel, when you're what is
fetishizing?
Yeah. Yeah. When you're, yeah, that's like, that's the bad part. Like, you're not, right. It's not healthy. It's not good. This is like a very twisted way of looking at something that is none of your business if you're not into it.
Right.
Yeah,
absolutely. So I think this is a good book to end this month on because it's a delightful, you know, a good, you know, light and fluffy read. So say you want to escape from your family on Thanksgiving, I would say go ahead, read this. Or you know what, you have a long weekend because it's a Thanksgiving holiday flying back and forth. This is a great, you know, read for getting on the train, if you will, or getting on the plane. However, you're and I don't think it's, I mean, there's vulgar parts in it, but it's not like so bad that, you know, oh my God, I'm going to, you know, blush with certain things. However, there are some funny parts, but she does tone it down because her child's in the room. So, but I would just say, like, you know, so you could listen to this as you're driving to whatever relative's destination you're going to for Thanksgiving, whatever you want. I feel like this is a good, you know, I need to step away from my family. I'm going to go read a book. I think this fills that. Alexis Hall, you have won yet again. but next week, Gata, we are kicking off our holiday extravaganza. And we're calling it a holiday extravaganza because we tried to be a little more inclusive with the books. So it's not just Christmas, 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 because I'm sure everyone's heard at least one Christmas song by now.
I have.
As have I. I may have the Christmas channel already programmed into my car. You can judge me. It's fine. I don't care.
I'm not going to judge you.
I've already watched one Christmas episode of Bob's Burgers, but I feel it was the most appropriate one because it does. So I know God is never going to ever watch the show ever again. I made her watch one episode and she hates me for it.
I don't hate you. I just don't like the.
So don't like the Linda. Show. On the show is obsessed with Christmas. Like, Bob is obsessed with Thanksgiving. Like, Thanksgiving is his holiday. He's like, he goes nuts over Thanksgiving. Whereas Linda's obsessed with Christmas. So the episode begins with, oh, I love my tree. Look at the tree. And Bob goes, Linda, it's the day after Halloween. And she puts up the Christmas tree. And of course she puts up a real tree. So it dies. So then she puts up a new tree and, oh, look at the tree. I love the tree. And it's Thanksgiving. We just finished eating turkey. And she puts up the tree. So, like, we all have those people in our lives. But we are, like we said, trying to be more inclusive in the podcast. So we are kicking off our holiday season, which is appropriate because Hanukkah begins on the 28th.
Yes.
So our holiday, we are kicking it off with a brand new book called The Matzah Ball by Jean Meltzer.
Yes, I'm super excited. I want to read that.
Yes, I just came out like within the past month or so, I want to say. Maybe longer, I don't know. But yeah, it's still fairly new. You can get it at all the libraries. I got it fairly easy, but I actually have the hard copy because I was at a local bookstore. So I was like, oh, clearly this was meant to be while we were deciding. So I'm excited. God and I have not read this yet. So we'll both vent our frustrations or our love of the book, whatever it may be. Oi to the world, everyone. Until then, good night, Gata.
Good night, Colleen. Please follow us at The Romance Bar on Instagram and Twitter.
And you can also email us at theromancebar@gmail.com. You can also contribute to us at Patreon/ACPN.
Thank you.
We love you.